Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's message is titled Return of the King, and some of you may recognize that as an allusion to the Lord of the Rings. There will be no orcs in this message. There will be no armies marching across the landscape. There will be no wonderful special effects. In fact, are we actually waiting for the return of the king? It's a good question for us to ponder. On this today, the reign of Christ, a feast of the church that was enunciated by Pope Pius XI back in 1925, so it's not even 100 years old. But Pius decided to promulgate this feast because he was concerned about the rising forces of authoritarianism in Europe. How did that work out? But for some reason, the wider church adopted this celebration, and we now observe it. It's also the 27th Sunday of Pentecost. Next Sunday, we begin a new liturgical year. And if you like the green pyramids we had out, you're not going to see them for a while, because next week we have purple ones, and those will be with us up until Christmas, and then the white ones will come out again, and they will stay with us through Christmastide. So green will come back in January. So some of you may be asking some questions. Why are we observing this day today? We're not Catholics. Some of you may be thinking, so what? Some of you may still be pondering that question about why are we observing this feast day of Christ the King? You would not be out of line for saying, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't every Sunday be the Sunday of Christ the King? Well, Bob? Bob smiled. He knows where I'm going with that. There was a cartoon that ran in the newspapers about 50, 60 years ago, a Peanuts cartoon. And one of the kids noticed that there was a Father's Day and a Mother's Day and asked his grandmother, why isn't there a Children's Day? And her response was, every day is Children's Day. It's true. Every day should be Children's Day. Just as every Sunday, and indeed every day, should be observed as a Sunday of the reign of Christ. But to mark this occasion, we have this reading from John 13. And if you listen closely to the passage, you may have thought, that sounds like a reading for Holy Week. Jesus has been brought up before Pilate on charges. And we're anticipating the crucifixion after we hear this reading. But in our heads, we're saying, wait a minute, we're not ready for a crucifixion. We want Christmas to come. Do we want Christmas to come? Are you excited about the birth of the baby Jesus? So things get a little bit complicated this time of year. But this is a fascinating passage. And the exchange between Jesus and Pilate is really telling. So what am I going to say on Pilate's behalf? Pilate was governor of an eastern province in the Roman Empire. Somebody must have thought he'd be a pair of safe hands. That was not stable territory. The Parthians were just next door. And to use a phrase that is no longer smiled upon, the natives were restless. The Jews did not like the Romans, just as they did not like any of the other imperial powers who had occupied their country over the centuries. And Pilate's job was to keep things quiet. The last thing he wanted was somebody higher up to come out from Rome to investigate. So, like many a good bureaucrat, Pilate hoped this problem would take care of itself. But he's got to deal with Jesus. And so he asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" A simple question. Jesus does not give him the simple answer he wants. He does not incriminate himself. Instead, he counters with, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you ask me?" So think about that. That's just like him saying, "What's it to you?" And Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew. I'm not part of this community. I'm not one of you. And yet your people turned you over to me." Clearly, Pilate's thinking, you did something to tick off the religious authorities. Because I harped on this before, the Jews are not an entity. When John refers to the Jews, he's referring to the Jewish religious leadership, a small clique of people who exerted authority in their society. But he knows that Jesus has riled up these people. He knows that Jesus has taught things that they find troublesome. And he wants Jesus to condemn himself. So what have you done? And Jesus' response is, famously, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Really? What was Pilate supposed to make of this? Jesus is on trial for his life, and he seems to be spouting nonsense. What is this kingdom of which Jesus speaks? Well, we all know it as the kingdom of heaven, which we know is not separate from kingdom here on earth. So Caesar had this delusion that he ran everything. Indeed, part of his title was he was the ruler of the known world. The Parthians were not having anything to do with Caesar's. The people in India had nothing to do with the people in the Mediterranean. As Phil would remind us, the Native Americans had no idea that there were any people over here in the Mediterranean. Caesar was not the ruler of everything. Caesar was powerful. There's no question about that. But Pilate asked him again, "So you're a king?" And Jesus answers, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." To testify to the truth. Now, many of you may have seen A Few Good Men. You remember that famous scene with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise in the courtroom? And Cruise has been pounding away at Nicholson. And Nicholson, as Colonel Jessup, does not like where Tom Cruise is going. And he finally explodes and says, "You want the truth? You can't handle the truth." That's not what Jesus does. Jesus instead invites Pilate to follow him. And you may not have read that in there, but he puts out this proposition: everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And so Jesus is saying to Pilate, if you want the truth, be one of my followers. That's pretty cheeky. Now, we know how the story is going to end. Pilate is not interested in the truth. Pilate's interested in keeping his job. And so, when the time comes, he is willing to execute Jesus. And again, this is something I will say again during Holy Week, but the Jews did not crucify Jesus. The only people who were authorized to perform a crucifixion in the Roman Empire were the Romans. They were not going to give this power up to another body of people. That was their way of showing that they were in control. So the king is going to be crucified. Why? Well, you should all know the answer. If you've been coming to church for a little while, I know you all have. Jesus did that for us. And this is where our conceptions of power are totally upended. Jesus is not interested in the motorcade. Jesus is not interested in arguing about political positions. Jesus is not going to be calling his opponents names. That's not the kingdom of God. Jesus instead testifies to the truth. Now you may look around and not see the kingdom of God in this world. But it's here. You may look out at the fire station site next door and think that's a good metaphor for the world in 2024. But as inconvenient as that project is to us, I prefer to think of what is going to go up in that space. Think about that. A new station that will properly house our firefighters. I'm not going to say that building the fire station is doing the work of building the kingdom. But I will commend the firefighters who risk their lives whenever they go to fight a fire. That is doing God's work. And it's not in scripture that says you should volunteer for your local fire department. But it does say to help your neighbor. So who do you belong to? Think about that. And who is your king? Now, I know we Americans don't like to have kings. We said goodbye to them more than 200 years ago. And we like to think we're a free people. No one's going to tell us what to do. But don't kid yourself. There are people out there who are more than happy to tell you what to do, to what to say, what to think, how to vote, whether to vote. And so, yes, I can roll my eyes that Pius XI announced this feast day in an attempt to ward off the ills of authoritarianism back in 1925, but it was that same Pius who signed a deal with the Nazi Reich to protect the independence of the Vatican. And sure, there were Nazi troops occupying St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, but they were all around Vatican City. And Pius definitely worked with the Nazis. But I come back to Pilate. And I don't think Pius thought of himself as being Pilate. But he was trying to keep a lid on things. He didn't want everything to blow up. It is so easy for me here in 2024 to condemn what someone did 80 years ago. But I wasn't alive then. And I didn't have to manage a sprawling multinational church organization. But I can still say that what Pius did was wrong when he signed that deal with the Nazis. If we are truly citizens of the kingdom of God, we need to act like that all the time. I've asked this question before. Would you want to welcome Jesus back to the world the way it is today? Would you feel comfortable doing that? Would you be happy if Jesus walked in the front door right now? So someone commented to me before the service about the quote on the front of the bulletin. It's from Annie Dillard. I'm going to read it to you and listen to it and think about what she's saying. The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return. Do you recognize that God? Do you? I just see a lot of still heads right now. But our God is not all about unicorns and rainbows. And as I saw it described in a commercial yesterday, he is not like a puddle of puppies. Yes, God loves us and God cares for us. But God is not here to just pat us on the head and tell us that everything we do is okay. That everything we do is all right. So I promised you Jeremiah last week, and it sounds like I'm giving you one. But, I look at Juliet's headgear. I look at Stacy's headgear. And as always, you look lovely. And I'm glad you're not wearing crash helmets. But what about the rest of us? Do you have a crash helmet? Do you feel that you are mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning? I hope not. My hope is that you're coming here freely and of your own will to be in the presence of the Holy God. And I don't care what your faith tradition or manner of worship was before this morning. I am glad you are here. So yes, we're going to continue to celebrate Christ the King today. And we'll do it again next week, the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new liturgical year. And we'll do it the Sunday after that. And after that, right through Christmas. And then we'll do it in the new year, through Lent and through Easter. Every Sunday will be the Sunday of Christ the King. And every weekday should be the weekday of Christ the King. If Jesus is King, it's nice to sing, but it's more important for us to live that reality. So I could have called this morning's message, All Hail the King. Or, Hail to the Chief. And I'm not going to ask Ernie to sit down at the keyboard and play the President's March. But think about that. What it would be like to meet Jesus the King. Have you ever met a president, current or former? I've met a couple of them. George Bush was taller than I would have imagined. Jimmy Carter was old and frail, but he still conveyed a sense of purpose. And Lord knows Bill Clinton could have swindled me out of money when he shook my hand. But all of these men were people like you and me. None of them were a king. None of them were Jesus. So if God is calling, answer. But honestly, Christ is King. Don't just think about it, but live into it. And give thanks that God wants to be our King. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for Jesus and for all he has done for us, all he will do for us, and all he's doing for us. We thank you for the way that you have been with us and are with us and will be with us. We thank you for the way you frankly blow our imaginations. Help us to ponder your reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.